greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Do we have anything anyone would like to mention this morning before we go on? Brian Nolan sends a blessing from Peru. They're doing well. Send their greetings to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just pray for your wisdom and your grace this morning, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to you and to your will, Lord. We just again want to thank you, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to begin in Kings. It's 1 Kings. Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. Here we have Elijah. He had just won a great victory over Baal. Ran away from Jezebel and had gone to the cave, and God had directed him and took care of him, and he spoke to him in the still small voice. He had been through a lot, and he had gotten discouraged even after this great victory, and he had then become fearful. In verse 19, it says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elisha and ministered unto him. I want to mainly focus here on Elisha. He walked by, or Elijah, sorry, I want to focus on Elijah. Elijah walked by Elisha while he was busy. He was working out in the field with a crew. And Elijah walked by and just threw his mantle over his, I don't know, he just touched him with his mantle. He threw his mantle over him, he said. I don't know what that means. And Elisha immediately said, I'll go with you, but first, I've got a lot of stuff to do. You know what Elijah did? He just kept on walking. Just kept on walking. So go back again, for what have I done to thee? Go back again. What did I do to you? He didn't go begging after him. Make sure he followed in the right way. He didn't go chasing after him, making excuses, trying to paint an easier picture for him. He didn't go crying after him and saying, oh, I'll try to make it as easy for you as I can. He said, go back. What have I to do with thee? What have I done to thee? Go back. I've not got chains on you. I've not got a rope around you. Elisha knew what that mantle meant. We see later in the next book how important that mantle was and how what it meant. It's his turn to carry the banner. And whenever he was passing the banner from one to another, he wasn't going to pass it to someone that he was going to have to babysit. Because he knew that he was going to be gone one of these days. His time was coming to an end. And that he wasn't going to be there. So he just walked on. We skip ahead a few hundred years. The book of John. John chapter 6. Here Jesus is with his disciples. He had spoke some things to them. Verse 60, it says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? He didn't go chasing after them. He didn't go saying, oh, we're going to make this road a little easier for you. Come on back. As far as we have here, when they chose to turn around and walk away, he let them go. But I don't see any place where Jesus went running after them to try to coerce them to come back. Find that theme throughout the whole Bible. We're not in a playground. We're in a battlefield. And whenever the battle gets tough and it gets hard, I don't know about you, but if I was in the military and I was in the tight spot in a battle, in a war, and I was dependent on someone to be right there with me fighting that war, and I turned around and I looked and all I saw was their hind end running for cover, I'd see a coward. I'd see a deserter. I'd see someone, I don't want them by my side anyway. I can't trust them. That sound hard? Does that sound mean? Does that sound cruel? If I'm in a battle, I want someone I can depend on by my side. If I'm going to say, I've got to get out there, cover me, You know what that means? It means you stand up and start shooting. Get their attention so I can run out there and you distract them and I'll go get up there a little bit closer. And I jump out into the battle. And I turn around and I look and you're running off the other way, scared to death. You've forsaken me, my friend. I could say, oh, poor so-and-so, he got scared and he ran away. But I don't have time to do that because now all the enemy is focused on me. The one I was depending on has forsaken me. Paul said in one place, Demas hath forsaken me. He didn't say, oh, poor Demas, it got too hard for him. Oh, poor Demas, he got confused. He didn't say, oh, poor Demas, I wish he's still here with us. He said, Demas hath forsaken me. That's just what he meant. We can have our hearts broken and do. In Acts, whenever we find the... Let's just try to... Let me see if I can find it right quick. Whenever Paul had disputed about John Mark, and he wouldn't let him go with him. Where is that verse? They were going on another mission, going on another journey. Acts 15:36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul depended on these men that were with him to be faithful. And here's one who had left him before, right in the middle of the battle. He quit him. So when it come time to go again, Paul said, he's not going with me. He's not going with us. I can't trust him. When the battle gets tough, it's right in the middle of the war, he's gone. He wants to go back. When it's time to get the work done, he's not there. I can't depend on him. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. We're in a war. And it's hard. And it's going to get harder if you stand. Satan is closing in on us. Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. I cannot stand for you. I cannot stand for any one of you. It's all I can do to stand for myself. We've all got our hands full just being faithful. If you don't stand, it's because you aren't going to stand. Heaven is for those who have passed the test. Heaven is for those who have fought the battle and won. Revelation says, and they overcame. They overcame this world. They overcame Satan. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life in this world. They overcame. Told you, I've heard people in churches. I grew up in church hearing men testify from what was supposed to be the strong men of the church, saying, I just want to make it in by the skin of my teeth. Almost sends shivers up my spine. If that's all you want to make it in by, you just, well, pack it up and forget it right now. Because you're trying to get in with as little effort as you can. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to make it. Heaven's not for sissies. It's not for the weak. Not that any of us see ourselves as strong. It's for those who have determined in our weakness to put everything we got into it. We're in a dangerous world. People take what we say and our signs and our things that we say, and they say, oh, they look at it through a proud, proud bunch of eyes, and they say, oh, you just think you've got it, don't you? You're just proud. Trying to say you've got it, no one else does. That is the farthest thing there is from the truth. I know that what 99% of the world has will not make it. And I don't know how many among us will make it. We don't have it figured out. We're in a war. And all I know is what to warn people about that's going to keep them out of there. Out of heaven. These people who are so confident that they think they've got it, and they see our warnings as condemnation, are a world away from knowing what this whole thing's all about. They're clueless of knowing what it's all about. And how serious this battle is. Get calls from people. Talked to a man just this week. And he don't know what to do. And he said, I've been there. I've had it. I've been where I was supposed to be. And now I'm not there anymore. And he said, I don't know how to get back. I don't know how to get back. Well, I'm going to tell you, he's a lucky one. Because he cares. He's at least concerned that he's fallen away. That's 1 in 100. That's even concerned that they fall away. How many more have just fallen away and think they're still on their way? Said, I've been there and I don't know how to get back. It's a whole bunch harder to have to go back than it is to be faithful where you're at and just press on. The mantle that's being passed on has got to be taken up and held forth. And when it's our turn to pick the mantle up and hold it and take it forward, you're going to have to do it pretty well by yourself. Just hope that there's some support there beside you, someone else being faithful. Someone else that you can depend on to walk beside you. Someone else that you can depend on to be right there whenever things get tough. Someone that you can depend on. Because we do need it. But if we're not there, if we're not where we're supposed to be, if we go running whenever it gets too hard, who else is going to take off running? That's why in the military, they try to make people quit. That's why when God is picking out when Gideon, he had 33,000 men, I think. And he said, all of you who are scared or want to go back right now. And the majority of them left right then. And then he went through them again. And he had another test. And the ones that drank the water, the way the Lord told him to watch, where they would take the water and scoop it up and bring it up to their mouth instead of getting down and drinking another way. It eliminated a bunch more of them. Down to 300 men. But those were the 300 that were going to be there. That's what he was after. Big bunch of them just got scared and went away right off. Church, modern church, has become a place for people looking for teachers with itching ears, just wanting to teach them what they want to hear. Nice things, smooth things, saying peace, peace. The Bible says when that happens, sudden destruction will come upon them. Part of being in a war is spending a lot of time in the camp preparing for the battle. How many people, after sitting for months just hearing about battles, waiting for battles, just get so tired of just waiting? But whenever the real battle comes, they're not even ready for it. The devil's been at this battle for a long time. Don't deceive yourselves. Turn to Luke chapter 12. verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. He will make him ruler over all that he hath. There is so much out there that the Lord has for us. So much in eternity. So much more than what this world has to offer. And the Lord will make us a ruler of all that he hath. When we stand before him, many he's going to say, depart from me. But there will be a few that he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Dependable and loyal, trustworthy. Going to be there through thick and thin. Boring times, he's there. Exciting times, he's there. Up on the mountain, he's there. Down in the valley, he's there. Well done. He'll be there. Will it be a mountain that's your biggest problem? Will it be a valley? Will it be an exciting time? Get you carried away into something else? Or will it be a boring time? To just get tired, same old stuff, and just fall asleep. What'll it be? What's it going to take to knock you off of following the Lord? Good times or bad? Rich or poor? Strong or weak? Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Here was someone who was there, but his final portion is with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. There is going to be degrees. On the judgment day. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of them will they ask the more. First Peter, Second Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn away, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. God has called us to be faithful. God has called us to a battle. He knows it's hard. You know it's hard. But he didn't call you to quit. He didn't call you to discourage your brethren by quitting. He called you to be faithful. His blessings to his words. May he help us to be faithful. Help us to be there. To be there. To be a rock. To be solid. When others may be falling away, be there. You don't know who you'll help. And if you fall away, you don't know who you'll hurt. You don't know who you'll take with you. But you will. You will. Somebody's got their eye on you, counting on you to be their cover. Counting on you to be there. Counting on you to bring supplies. Just counting on you. And they look up and you're gone. That's just the last thing that they can take. So they fall away too. Peter said, "Where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Eternal life. We found them. Paul said, "No one's going to take this away from me." Dangers and perils, sufferings. I found it, and you're not going to take it from me. May we instill that loyalty, that glory, that precious thing that God has given us, that we're not going to let anybody take that away from us. Father, we come before you, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, in our weakness, Father, help us dedicate that to you, Father, that we may be found faithful on that day you return for us or call for us, Lord. That we not be found slothful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8:47. Thank you. May the Lord depend on you. That's the Lord needs people. He wants people. Let me just rephrase that. The Lord's people are dependable people. That's the way I want to say it. They're dependable. Can he depend on you? Even just in the little things, can he depend on you? Can others depend on you? We ought to teach our children a virtue of dependability. But when it's time for them to do something, they do it. You don't have to tell them twice. That's their job. Dependable. They got to learn it. It's up to you to teach them that they can be counted on. Make them dependable. I'd rather them be dependable than know how to read or write. You can teach someone that's dependable. They can have all the skills in the world, and if you can't depend upon them, they're worthless. I've seen a lot of good people that can do a lot of things better than anybody I ever seen it, but you can't depend on them. Can the Lord depend on you to be faithful in the test? When no one else around you is dependable, are you? God bless you.